If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. This afternoon, I want to look at verses 15 through about 22, I believe it is. But beginning at verse 15, and we're going to be looking at the midpoint of the tribulation, what Jesus says about this and what's going to happen. As we look at this, it's interesting as you study and look at one of the things you need to remember is the Lord knows what's going to happen. And he knows the beginning from the end. And it's interesting, as I shared this morning, as he told his disciples, well, there's not going to be one stone left upon another. As sure as that happened, the other things he's sharing are going to happen. And this is going to happen. Now, one of the things that you need to realize is he's talking to his Jewish disciples about the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. The church doesn't exist yet in the world because the church hadn't been born yet, because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross and the disciples hadn't been filled with the Spirit. They hadn't been sent out with the Great Commission to take the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ to the whole world and convert men to Christianity, to followers of Christ. That had not been done yet. And he's dealing with Israel, and the things that are spoken of in chapter 24 deal with the nation of Israel. And as we see here, the things that are going to be looking at this afternoon deal with the nation of Israel during the Great Tribulation. We saw this morning that at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, there's going to be great deception. And there's going to come one, as we saw in the book of Revelation, that will come with the appearance of the Messiah, but he's not the Messiah, he's a false Messiah. And that person is coming. One of the things we know from Scripture is that he will make peace with Israel, and Israel will be at peace with all her neighbors around her. Now that's going to be a major undertaking as you look at the world today. And you see that Israel is surrounded by her enemies. She's surrounded by those who want to annihilate her. And yet the Bible tells us that this man is going to come and he's going to make a peace treaty with Israel and put Israel at peace. So much so that they're going to lay down their weapons. Now that is going to happen at the beginning of the tribulation. Jesus said there's an event, though, that's going to come at the midpoint of the tribulation where Satan is going to reveal himself not only to Israel, but for all of those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, of which there won't be a whole lot, but that they will be able to understand that this man is the ambassador and really the embodiment of Satan himself, and that he has come filled with deception for the purpose of the destruction of Israel, not the salvation of Israel, and the destruction of all that God loves, not for its preservation. Let's begin at chapter 24, beginning at verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then let them which be in the Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look into your word to understand the truths that you would have for us. And help us to see that you do know the beginning from the end, and you are the one who set history in motion and who shall bring history to its culmination. And Father, we pray that you will also help us to be encouraged, knowing that you are in control, not the adversary, and that this world system is not what we have to align ourselves with, but we can look forward to your kingdom and your eternal reign. Lord, now we pray that you would just speak to us through your word this afternoon. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In order to understand the verses that we just read, if you would turn with me to Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9. And Jesus is looking to this particular portion of Scripture that Daniel was talking about. We alluded this morning to the 70th week of Daniel, which is the last week where the Lord deals with the nation of Israel. God is not done with Israel. And we saw that that he is working even in Israel today. In 1948, Israel became a nation. It had not been a nation for thousands of years. And now it is a nation again. It came back not as two nations. It didn't come back as Judea and Israel, but rather it came back as one nation, Israel. Just as the prophets foretold that it would be two sticks, but these two sticks would come back as one. And that's exactly what happened. And it came back under the name of Israel. And that's a whole another study to do. But I encourage you to go out and read some history about the nation of Israel and the decisions that were made when they came back in as a nation, what they would call themselves, and all the decisions and how they were made. It's all exactly according to prophetic word of God. And all one has to do is look at the prophecies that have been fulfilled and realize everything that Jesus says about the future is going to be fulfilled just the same way. Now, we come to Daniel chapter 9. And in Daniel chapter 9, let's begin at verse 25. And he's talking about the last 7 years of earth, the 70th week. Now, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 69 weeks. And the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times, which occurred. And when Jesus came back at the end of the 69th week, Jerusalem stood. It had its walls. The temple was there. And everything had been completed just as had been prophesied. But something would happen. Jesus said the temple would be torn down, Jerusalem would be decimated. That happened in 70 AD. And now we see that he's going to talk about the last week of Daniel, the 70th week. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, which occurred in 70 AD. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and into the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, we jump forward in time, and there's a space of time between the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem, and when he comes and makes this peace, when the Antichrist will come and make this peace treaty. As we know, that has been just about 2,000 years since the temple and Israel were destroyed in 70 AD till now when it's 2020. That's just about 2,000 years. Well, what's happened during that time? Well, we see that during that time, the church was born. The gospel of the salvation in Jesus Christ went out to the whole world, and God prepared his bride in the preparation of his bride for the church. When the bride is prepared for the Lord, and the Lord calls his bride home at the rapture, this next event begins to go. And this deals with the nation of Israel. And it deals with those in Israel who are not Christians. There are Christians in Israel today. And you can pray for the salvation of the Jewish people. And there are more Jewish people getting saved every day in Israel. And just pray for them. But there's also strong persecution against the church, even in Israel, where they have religious freedom in the Middle East. Still, we have a friend over there, and they have a Baptist church, and they put up a lot of posters around the city talking about that Yeshua is the Messiah, and those posters will be torn down, they'll be defaced, and because we asked him, well, how expensive paper to use for the poster, he said the cheapest paper we can find, because we know they're going to be torn down the next day, but we're always putting them back up. And they have had people come to know the Lord by seeing those posters. They've had people come to know the Lord by looking at their website on the internet. And so just continue to pray for the salvation of the Jewish people. But there is a strong anti-Christian movement amongst the Jews. But God's going to deal with that too. And that's going to be dealt with in this last 7-year period. He's going to deal with the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is what this last 7-year period deals with. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the message, you go to the Middle East today, they're surrounded by their enemies. You can read Psalm 83, and it gives you a picture of Israel today when the psalm was written 3,000 years ago, but it's the same picture today. All of her enemies around her and all at war with Israel, all desiring to destroy her. And not only that, never in the history of the world have Russia, Iran, and Turkey been united and with one goal to destroy Israel and come against Israel. And Russia doesn't say much about it, but it's growing. The tensions are growing greater. Israel has found a lot of natural gas. They've also found oil. They've set up pipelines to send natural gas and oil to Europe. And Europe is Russia's main customer for oil and natural gas. Does that, a little tension growing there? The answer is yes. And it talks about how that there be this swooping down from the north of this confederacy of Israel, Iran, and Turkey. Turkey, their current ruler is very Islamic. And he also wants to bring back the Ottoman Empire, the Ottoman Caliphate. And he wants to have the whole Middle East be Iranian or be Muslim again. And that's his goal and desire. Iran, the leaders of Iran, their whole goal is to destroy Israel. That is their main desire, is to destroy Israel. They view Israel as the thing that's preventing them from accomplishing what they need to accomplish. And they want to control the Middle East. But they're willing to unite with Turkey, and they're willing to unite with Russia in a common enemy, Israel. And they are, for the first time in the history of the world, united, and their common enemy is Israel. And everything you see in Ezekiel, in the war that's brought about in Ezekiel, is exactly that. Now, as we see, there's all these enemies around, and who's going to bring peace? Well, Israel, the Jewish people, they're looking for a Messiah. They're looking for a man to come and bring them peace. Also, if you look at what the rest of the world is being set up for, they're also being set up for a Messiah, but it's a false Messiah. You look at this whole thing with the COVID virus, it's a real virus. You can get sick, you can die from it, but it's totally overblown and compared with other pandemics that we've had, H1N1, other influenzas, other things. Why is it done? I believe it's a test run to try and get people conditioned and ready to become so fearful when they hear of things that they're going to look for direction and they're going to look for answers and they're going to look to their government. But then also this Satan, this is his, I believe, his ploy, that he's putting in place a government that ultimately will one day be headed by his man, and people will look to that. They want to look to, they're being pushed towards a one world government. You have people like Bill Gates who are saying that the whole world needs to be vaccinated against this virus and that we should have a one-world currency. His Microsoft has also taken out patents on a cryptocurrency where we get rid of money and the dollar would no longer be the standard of money. They are looking towards that. Even the Federal Reserve is doing that. All looking towards one world. One world. But if you have one world, you need to have somebody leading it and directing it. And the world is going to be looking for a man that can give them answers. Guess what? Satan's going to have this man. This man's going to come and he's going to make peace with Israel. He's going to solve all their problems with all their enemies, or so it seems. Now it says in Daniel verse 27 of chapter 9, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Okay, so he's going to make a 7-year covenant or peace agreement with many. And that's all in the Middle East, the whole world to a large extent, except for if you study prophecy, you see there are a few nations that rise up against him, but they're quickly put down by him. But we see that he's bringing this peace treaty. And it says here, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, for the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it a desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, what is that speaking of? Well, in order for this to occur, there has to be a temple in Israel, because they're talking about the Jewish sacrifices that will be reinstated at the temple. The scriptures tell us that the temple will be rebuilt. There's going to be a third temple rebuilt, and it's not going to be the final temple, which will be the Lord's temple, the one that he shall build. But this will be a temple that's built by the Jewish people, and they will be allowed by this world dictator that's placed in a position of authority, because the world looks to him really as the Messiah, as the one who's got the solutions and answers to all the world's problems. And as they come and he allows them and they rebuild this temple, he says that they can begin to reinstate their sacrificial system. The sacrificial system hasn't been used in Israel since the time of Jesus. And since Jesus died on the cross, shortly thereafter, the temple was destroyed and the sacrifices were ceased. Because Jesus was the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world, and there did not need to be a continual sacrifice instituted any longer. However, the people had not accepted Jesus. They don't look to him as their Messiah, most of the Jews, and the Orthodox Jews do not. And so they are going to reinstate the temple, and they're going to reinstate the sacrificial system. It's going to appear like he is on their side. He's allowing them to do this. He's encouraging them to have their sacrifices. He's encouraging them to have their temple. I don't know how he's going to do it, but the Temple Mount, currently on the Temple Mount, are two Muslim, there's the Dome of the Rock, a Muslim shrine, and also there's the Alabaster Mosque, which is one of their major mosques in the Middle East, and both of those are there, and the Dome of the Rock is sitting where most people feel that a portion of the temple sat. So what's going to happen? I don't know, but I do know that God says the temple will be rebuilt, and it will be rebuilt on Temple Mount. Now, what's going to happen is this is all going to go along really good until what Jesus says. Jesus quotes what Daniel says, and because the Lord knows it's going to happen, and go back to Matthew chapter 24, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, which you just read in his prophecy, the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Why? Because this man is going to break the treaty with a vengeance. And he's going to come against Israel. And he's going to seek to be the destroyer of Israel, not the protector of Israel. And what's going to happen is, at the midpoint of the tribulation, Satan is going to allow his true colors to be seen. And what happens, in order to understand why this occurs at this particular time, you need to go to the book of Revelation. We don't have time to turn and look it up, but I encourage you to read through the book of Revelation. And one of the passages you'll find is that through the midpoint of the tribulation, an event occurs in heaven which causes Satan's wrath to just be ignited beyond all measure. God casts him from heaven and gives him no access to heaven any longer. Today, Satan can go to heaven, and he is the main accuser of the saints in heaven. He goes before the Lord accusing us daily and sending his minions, his demons, to accuse us as well. And the Lord is there on our behalf. Jesus is there saying, they are mine. You have no right over them. But there's coming a day where Satan will have no longer access to heaven. He'll be cast down. When that occurs, he knows his time is short. He's seen the scripture. He just doesn't believe the scripture. And he's heard what God has said, but he just doesn't believe what God has said. But at that point in time, all of a sudden reality is going to begin to come in. He's only got 3.5 years to accomplish what he wants to accomplish on earth. And the main thing he wants to accomplish is to destroy that which God loves. And if he can destroy those that God has made promises to, then what? God isn't God. If he can destroy every Jew, then God isn't God, because God made physical promises to the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that the land would be theirs. The land has never completely been theirs that he had promised. Even under closest it came was under David and Solomon, but there was still part of the land that had been promised to them that wasn't, that they did not inherit. So that is still coming in the millennial kingdom. But Satan is going to come and he's going to try and destroy everything that God holds dear at that time. Because it's the only way that he can kind of, that he sees that he can have an ability to say that God isn't God and that I'm the true God. And so he's going to come, and what he's going to do is he's going to desecrate the temple. Now we have a picture of what he's going to do during the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, when he came and desecrated the temple shortly after he took over one of the kingdoms from Alexander the Great in the Middle East, and he came to the temple and he sacrificed pigs where they sacrificed lambs and things that were clean. He sacrificed that which was vile and an unacceptable sacrifice. He mocked the Jewish religion. He did everything he could to put them down, and he tried to make them convert to Grecian thought and to worship Greek gods. That was Antiochus Epiphanes. This man is 1,000 times worse than Antiochus Epiphanes because he's possessed of Satan himself. He comes, he doesn't just make false sacrifices, he makes false sacrifices to whom? To himself as God. He says, I am God. I am the one that is to be worshipped, not the true and the living God. I am he. And the Jewish people, those that are still in Israel, are repulsed by this. But it also, Jesus tells them that there's going to be tremendous persecution against the Jewish people at this time. It's going to be so strong that 2/3 of the Jews that are alive on the earth, it's going to make the Holocaust look like a children's play. They're going to come and they're going to kill 2/3 of the Jewish people that are living. 1/3 will survive. Jesus tells, if you're a Jew living in Jerusalem, when you see the Antichrist, the Satan's, the embodiment of Satan come into the temple and desecrate the temple, that's the time you need to leave. And you need to leave that moment. You don't have time to pack clothes. You don't have time to get your possessions. You don't have time to go and talk to your loved ones. You need to leave now. Why? Because the desecration and the annihilation is coming immediately. And from that point on, God's wrath begins to be dumped upon the earth. And we see here that what Jesus says as he goes on, and he says, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Where are the mountains? The mountains that he's speaking of, many people believe, are the area of Petra in Jordan. And that talks about that is in some of the prophets. It talks about that's where the people will be that have fled Judea and Jerusalem. They've fled to that particular part of the world. And that God will supernaturally protect them, and that God will come to redeem them when he returns with his 10,000s of saints. Neither let him which is in the field, or I'm sorry, verse 17, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take nay thing out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Why? Because it's hot. Have you ever tried to travel with a baby? Have you ever tried to flee in a hurry with a baby? It's very difficult. And he's saying, this is not going to be a pleasant time. This is going to be a very, very difficult time. And there's only going to, it's going to force the Jewish people to make a very quick decision. Which kingdom am I looking for? Which kingdom do I want? This is the world's kingdom. And they want to destroy me. And everything that I thought that was dear to me and that they were allowing me to do, they have now made a mockery of and destroyed it. And now they're coming after me. And it's going to force those people to turn to the Lord. He's the only place they've got left to turn to. Guess what? At this point in time, the United States won't be here to come to Israel's aid. We saw that in some of the previous administrations, things were put in place that just about made it this, not this bad, but Israel wasn't supported. As a matter of fact, Israel's enemies were given really plane loads full of money. Under Barack Obama, remember, there was a plane load full of money taken and given to Iran. The nation said that they wanted to destroy Israel. And at the same time, he was making it difficult for Israel to get new weapons from the United States. He was making things difficult for Israel in trade and a number of other things that he was doing. It's already been done. The current administration, by God's grace, has been very pro-Israel and also has helped freedoms not only in our nation, but also supported Christians throughout the world. Previous administration didn't do that either. Christians are being murdered in the Middle East. Christians are being murdered in Africa. Christians were being murdered in the Far East, and nothing was done. At the same time, there were those that were being brought in who were really terrorists in their thinking on religious persecution and religious freedom rights into the United States, where Christians couldn't come. That has been changed. But you saw how quickly those things flip-flop in our own government. You look at current agendas by some people that are running today, and you look at if elected and they were enabled to do what they want to do, it would flip-flop back in a nanosecond, and it'd be 10 times worse than it's ever been against Israel. There are current congressmen that speak nothing but ill of Israel, and they want to come to power. So there's going to come a day where that's going to happen in the United States, and the United States will be out of the picture. They won't be Israel's friend. They won't be Israel's defender. They'll be coming against the God of the Jews, just like the rest of the world. And the only place Israel will have to look is to God. And that's what they're going to do. And Jesus is telling them, when you flee, you better flee quickly, because they don't have your well-being at heart. He doesn't. He desires your destruction. But pray that your flight will not be in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever will be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, we talked about that Jesus gave an overview, the first 3.5 years, the tribulation, when perilous times would come. There'd be famine, there'd be disease, there'd be death, there'd be wars and rumors of wars. All these things would be happening, but that would be just a tribulation. Then comes the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation. What's the difference? As I mentioned this morning, most of what's occurring in the first part, God's allowing man's wickedness to work its way out. And just to give you one example is famine and pestilence. We see pestilence right now. Many people believe the coronavirus came from a lab in China where they actually manipulated a virus to make it more potent than it normally would have been. You can agree or disagree. I think that the evidence is there that that's probably a true statement. So men can be wicked. They can do things to bring pestilence about. They do things to bring famine about. We can see in Africa right now, there are nations that are suffering from famine, the countries that have food that send it there, that gets there, and instead of the government authorities giving the food to their own people, they just load it on another boat and sell it to somebody else and pocket the money. That's real wickedness, allowing your people to die so you can be rich. Those type of things will happen, and because of that, God's wrath is finally going to just be poured out. Because of what Satan has done through the Antichrist, and because they're coming against his people, because of all the wickedness that is on the earth, and everything is wicked, and every man is wicked, God's wrath is being poured out. And that will be the last 3.5 years. That is the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. It's a time when the whole world will come against Israel and desire to destroy the remnant of Israel. Now we see here, is it going to happen? Yes, it's going to happen. Just as the temple was torn down, these events are going to happen. Are we going to be there when this happens? The answer is no. The church is going to be gone. It's going to be raptured. Do we have to fear? No, we don't have to fear. Do the Jewish people have to fear? Well, they should look to the Lord. They should even look to the Lord today and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But even in the most perilous of times, if as long as they look to God, He is their Redeemer, and He will be the one who comes to their salvation. And they will see that Jesus is the Messiah and the true Messiah, not the false Messiah that pretended to give them peace but only set them up for destruction and death. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help us to look to the Messiah, the true and faithful one, the one who came to redeem us from our sins. And Lord, that we would share with others the hope that we have in Jesus. Lord, that You would allow us to go forth and be those that would preach a gospel that calls men to redemption, preach a gospel of truth that reveals that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of the whole world, and that He came to set all men free from their sins, and all men have to do is receive the gift of salvation. Lord, I pray now that You would just go with us and give us those opportunities. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn in your hymnals to hymn number 519, Great is Thy Faithfulness, because we serve a God who is truly faithful and will deliver on His word. Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions.